Joining us now, the general manager of the Giants, as Bobby Evans. And Bobby, nice to have you with us. Thank you.
Hey, good to be with you, Marty. How's it going today?
Yeah, very good. You know, it's sort of the dust is settling a little bit now. Get back to baseball. And as I say, teams that are on that cusp, you got to play well in August because you can't rely on September. So a lot of trades were made. Were you surprised at all at the number?
No, I wasn't surprised. In fact, I at some level was expecting more. I think the big trade with, 13 players amongst three teams was a bit surprising. But for the most part, it wasn't as active as I expected, really.
Boy, I'll tell you, I felt for Jerry Krasnick and Ken Rosenthal. I think the biggest thing, John Heyman and all these people are coming up with fake Twitter accounts. And what they're doing, they're tweeting out that all these trades are made and they were never made. And Ken Rosenthal almost had a heart attack about it because he looked bad in the national Twitter community. So I think that was the biggest thing. With media today, look at what – I'll tell you another thing. Driving in today, I was listening to the Toronto game, and Mark Lowe gave it up, and they had just gotten him from Seattle. But they were talking about the general manager. And they said this week he had an hour's sleep, an hour's sleep, an hour's sleep, and after the Price trade, he slept for 9 hours. Did you have that kind of week?
Well, that sounds like a normal week, actually. But no, I probably did a little better than that. Even with a 17-month-old, I probably did better than that.
All right. Tell us about the leak trade, how that came about, and why it was so late in the week. Did it have to take place after the Price, Hamels, Cueto stuff? I know you're involved in that, but how did leak come about?
Yeah, I was really gauging our conversations with a small pool of guys that we thought could impact our rotation. And interestingly enough, each one had their own sense of timing. I was hitting all of them at one time, so I was trying to approach each one, simultaneously, just trying to find who was willing to deal and who would ultimately go first. I didn't know, but I wanted to be, ready in case one of our guys did. And so as it turned out, Cole Hamels goes back to the off season. I mean, we've been talking with them, Philadelphia, since November. About the what ifs on a deal there. I think at the last day or two, Cole waived his no trade to us, so it gave us an insight that we had a pretty good shot here. We were obviously, in the mix, but we had isolated a group of I think 7 or 8 players that the Phillies liked, and they were going to choose from those guys as to what a deal would look like. And sometime it got kind of quiet, and I realized that it wasn't quiet for no reason. It was because they were finishing up the deal elsewhere. He went to Texas, and so I was able to restock the farm system with these 6 or 7 or 8 guys and work on the next one. And Detroit really only made Price available for about 24 hours. I mean, they were unwilling to talk, and then suddenly, late at night, he was available, and by the next morning they had the primary, even despite an offer or two from us. They had the makings of what they thought was the fit for him. And Cincinnati was tough because as they were working on the Cueto deal and ultimately got the Cueto deal done, they became pretty silent for a while, and it was hard to engage them. And so when we finally did get them, engaged and responding, things came together pretty quickly for Mike.
Did Chapman's name ever come up? I know, again, in the media, the press speculated that Chapman could go to the Diamondbacks. He was going to go to the Yankees for the greatest bullpen ever. Was Chapman ever out there?
Well, yeah. I mean, they were listening on him, and we made multiple offers and made multiple efforts to try to find a way to get him to engage us. Ultimately, it came down to there was one deal that seemed to be more attractive of any of them for them, and it wasn't us. And ultimately, they told us it's unlikely that he gets dealt, but if this one club comes back with what we've asked for, that may change things. And I guess apparently they didn't, and he's stuck with them. He's going to be in Cincinnati.
Yeah, boy.
For now.
Yeah, at least for now. And, I was sort of surprised that the Phillies traded Hamels. And here's my question to you. Over the winter, you probably had a shot at getting Hamels because Hamels was, been on the block for so long. Did the offers change for Hamels now versus the winter? Did it go up, or was it different? Or is it the same as the winter?
They were fairly consistent. I mean, I think that they really. I don't think they were overly excited about dealing them this winter. I think they wanted to see how their season would start up, And so a lot of the talk this winter seemed to be, you know, more of a testing ground just to see who was interested and what might be given up for him. But never did things get more serious than they did the last week before the deadline.
All right. Parra put on quite a show here with the Brewers. And I know that was he went to the Orioles for Zach Davies, who's, you know, sort of a thin I think Giants didn't you go after Zach Davies at one point? I think maybe even had him at one point. Maybe you drafted him. But
who's that?
Zach Davies. Weren't Giants involved with him at some point?
Not us, no.
Oh, all right. I was thinking of someone else then. All right. So he goes for Parra. I love Parra, but then I realized, well, you got Blanco. Parra, you know, would be another left-handed outfielder. So did you look for outfield help at all, and how close did you come on that?
Yeah, we looked at it. I mean, it was never an easy fit because, for the most part, the kind of guys that were out there, you know, there was a lot of left-handed, you know, fourth or fifth outfielders, and we've got that in Blanco, and Blanco's done a great job, and we've got him under contract for next year, and we have Pagan, who's a switch hitter. So unless you were going to be able to go out and get an everyday impact type player, i.e. like a Gomez, it just really was very hard to find a match for us in the outfield market. And again, even looking at depth, trying to find infield depth just to give us, you know, another option, it was hard because the best names that you would have wanted to come here and be off the bench are guys that, you know, other clubs are trying to get as everyday players. And so their ask and their offer was significantly above what we would be willing to offer.
Yeah, Bobby Evans with us. It was interesting to see the level of prospects that got moved around. And again, if you look at the top 15 in an organization, maybe 3, 6, and 8 went, you know, in the Hamels deal or in the Price deal from Toronto. There were some fairly significant prospects going. Were you reluctant to go that high on this stuff? You know, talking of the Christian Arroyos of the world and the Beatties of the world, because May is pretty high, but you wouldn't want to, I guess, part with three of them.
Yeah, that's a tough price to pay. I mean, again, I think that when you're trying to get a Cole Hamels or another big piece, you've got to be open-minded, but you're not going to do the scouting for them. You're going to let them ask for who they want, and then you decide whether you want to say yes or no. I'm not going to, you know, tell them who I'm not trading as much as let them ask for who they want, and then I'll make a decision.
Yeah, so what was the request like? Were they just off the wall for Price and Hamels with you?
No, I think that we were in a position where we were prepared to, you know, be aggressive, and I think that and Price was very short-lived. I mean, he was not available, and then by the next morning we were on the sidelines. They had something they had in place that they liked, so it was pretty short-lived. In Hamill's case, I mean, we opened up the farm system and let them, you know, look deep and wide at all of our options. I mean, obviously they weren't going to take they're not going to take your top five picks. They're going to take your top five guys. They're going to have some that are high, some that are a little lower in the mix, and ultimately 7 or 8 guys were in their mix, and all of whom we would have worked with to get a deal.
All right. So now it's August. The waiver period is now on. How hard is it now if you have to add somebody? Teams are kind of settled a little bit. Maybe it'll be easier to get someone if you need them.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see how quickly clubs put guys out on waivers just because I think some clubs might wait just because, you know, a guy that might get claimed today that they wouldn't trade anyway, but if they wait, they might decide at that point, maybe a week or two from now, they've fallen out of the race, and maybe they are willing to deal him, but if he's already been claimed and held on to, then you're stuck with him. So maybe waiting later, we'll see some names in a couple of weeks that'll come out because clubs are dropping out of the race.
You know, you look at the Bobby Evans, you look at the composition of the roster, and I've said on the show, you've got two long relievers, and you need a bullpen, but is that a luxury to carry two long relievers like that?
I don't know that it's a luxury. It may be a liability. I mean, it's tough to carry two long relievers. We'll have to see ultimately how it goes, you know, over the course of this road trip. It'll be, you know, all hands on deck. But and I think that's part of why we've looked at Vogelsong pitching in different situations and even Petit maybe in different situations because, you know, hopefully you don't need your long man very often, much less two of them.
So are you comfortable with Casilla? I'd say on a scale of 1 to 10. It's been a little wobbly. On a scale of 1 to 10, how comfortable are you with Casilla being the closer right now?
Well, that's a tough question, Marty. Come on. I mean, we all see Casilla out there, and he's he's taken us to, you know, the World Series and been a part of all three of them. I mean, I'm entirely comfortable. I'm a lot more comfortable with him on the mound at the end of the game than I am with the question. I'll put it that way.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, people ask this. You know, I can only ask the questions that people send in to me because obviously, you know, bullpen was put out there as speculation.
Well, we looked at options and just to try to find a way to keep ourselves as deep as possible with the bullpen. But, you know, the reality is that there's very little you can do to, you know, to upgrade your bullpen a little. If you're either going to upgrade it a lot or you're really, you know, maybe making sideways moves. And we've got a pretty good group of guys, and we've got Romo who's closed. We've got Strickland who's probably got a future ability to close. We've got guys in the minor leagues who have ability to finish games. But, you know, I like what I'm seeing out of Casilla, and I'm not in any position to even question him as our closer at this point.
All right. Well, then it's 10. So, see, it was a good answer. You gave a good answer on that. All right. Now, the defense in the outfield came unquestioned by a couple of people this morning. Blanco, Maxwell, are we going to see a little bit more of them later in the game, you think?
Well, I mean, Bunch is going to have to balance, you know, where Pagan's knees are bothering him or where Aoki, you know, didn't see the ball good last night. Maybe, right. You know, there's opportunities to get defensive replacements in there. But those are two solid defensive players on your bench. You know, with them coming off the bench, either to pinch hit or play defense, and you're gonna see Boach go all out to win these games. It's gonna be a very tough road trip, and we're down the stretch now. So yeah, I mean, I don't think anything won't be utilized if it's an opportunity to get ourselves through and win a game.
Yeah, we'll see a lot of that. Last thought for you, Bumgarner last night got into a little shouting match, and what's your take on that with Bumgarner getting into this is about the third one he's gotten into with an opposing player.
Well, Bum's intense, and I saw him in the minor leagues, incredibly intense with, situations that were, you know, where he takes things sometimes very personally, and that intensity is what's made him successful. Ultimately, I think there's probably some frustration as to how the game was going, but we've seen it before this year, similar situations, and Bum's intensity. If it results in him being effective, I'm not going to try to do anything to change it. You know, I think that at the end of the day, I just don't want anybody on either side to get hurt.
Yeah, you don't want an incident. All right, last, again, I thought of one more for you. What do you like best about Mike Leake? We'll see him tomorrow. What can you tell us? Well, what convinced you that he's a guy you wanted?
Well, he's an excellent control pitcher. He's not overpowering. He works both sides of the plate. He's gonna you know, let the guys put the ball in play and trust the defense behind him. He's a ground ball pitcher, which probably works to one of our strengths, you know, with our infield. But I think that, you know, as much as he's not had as good a numbers at home in Cincinnati, you know, the good thing is I think our ballpark plays a lot differently than Cincinnati, and it should work well for him. He's an athlete, and in some ways he might be the extra bat off the bench at times. He's a pretty good hitter.
All right, look forward to it. Cole Hamels tonight in Heston. That's quite a matchup for a baseball fan. Looking forward to it.
Oh yeah, it's good stuff. I mean, I like the fact that we got the Hamels last time we faced him. I get nervous having to do that twice.
Yeah, this is going to be a lot of fun tonight. And as you said, it's a tough road trip. All hands on deck. And this is when it starts, the march to the finish, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So thanks for coming on today and answering all my questions. I appreciate it.
No, you got it, Marty. Anytime. Good to be with you.
All right, thanks. That's Bobby Evans, general manager of the Giants. All right, more coming up on KNBR 680, the sports leader.